As we begin this Friday broadcast of CNV Radio, our teacher, Mike McIntosh, will point out the importance of constantly learning and growing.
Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Now he's trying to raise his children. David is teaching these to Solomon. Solomon's teaching them to his kids. When you cease listening to instruction, your heart is just going to get soggy and mushy, and you're going to stray from the words of knowledge. You don't care anymore. And you become carnal, and you become physical, you become lustful, you just become wishy-washy, and you have no purpose in life. Don't ever give up listening to instruction, and don't ever stray from words of knowledge. You always want to keep growing. That's why if you spend time every day in the Bible, you're going to learn something new.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus.
There's an old saying, garbage in, garbage out. This can apply not only to computers, but to the human mind as well. However, becoming idle by never reading or growing, and if we stop learning, it can have a devastating effect as well. Failing to adhere to the wisdom of others can lead to making poor choices. When we stop listening to God and studying His Word, we make the gravest mistake of all. As we continue our studies of this Old Testament book daily here on Chapter and Verse, you can tell from this introduction, the examples from chapters 19 and 20 of Proverbs will provide illustrations and principles we can all put to work in our lives. Open your Bibles now to the book of Proverbs as we listen to Pastor Mike McIntosh.
So let's pick up at verse 8, the 19th chapter. He that gets wisdom, which you just got a little bit, loves his own soul. That's important to know, because it means you care about yourself, you're trying to mature and grow. You love your own soul. He that keeps understanding shall find good. So if you're wondering why there's no good things happening in your life, you may want to keep understanding, and that comes with wisdom, of course. The ninth verse says, a false witness will not go unpunished, so a person that tells a lie about somebody else, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a prince to, for a servant to rule over princes. So luxury isn't fitting for a fool, and it's not wisdom that a servant rules over somebody that's a prince or somebody that's got leadership abilities. Verse 11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Here's one you want to circle for later to just meditate on it. The discretion of a man is important. He defers his anger. You want to get angry, but a wise person would say, I'm just going to cool it here. And it's wisdom that allows you, it says in the New King James, it's his glory, but in the King James, his glory is to overlook a transgression. So it doesn't mean you're covering things up or covering sin up, but somebody comes at you, they attack you verbally or whatever, your natural reaction is anger, and then strife and contention, and then fist fight or something. And wisdom says you've got control of yourself, and it's to your glory to just overlook such a petty thing and to grow up and not to strive about such things. Verse 12, the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. So you got a comparison proverb here. You got wrath and favor. The same person that's speaking of, the king. So you could say your boss, for instance, or your chief petty officer, whatever you're doing, okay? The person that's in charge, in this case he calls it the king, to have him angry, to have the boss angry or the top dog angry is like hearing a lion roar. I mean, it's pretty frightening and scary. But then on the other side of the coin is to have the favor of the king or the boss, where they're treating you right and they're giving you favor, it's like dew on the grass in the morning, and dew is moisture, and the moisture on the grass means that it's going to stay green and things are going to grow. So wisdom would say you don't want to get the wrath of the leader, you want to have the favor of the leader. And your job will stick around a lot longer if there's dew on your grass than a roaring lion being angry at you. Now, here's one for you parents or your future parents that are waiting for your teenagers. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Now, this seems to be like two areas that the husband, father, the man, has two roles, husband and father, and this one verse is speaking about these two roles. First, that the ruin of his life is a foolish son. A foolish son could get thrown in jail. A foolish son could be out driving drunk, hit somebody, kill somebody. So the father gets sued, loses all of his assets. His house is taken from him, takes bankruptcy. The foolish son gets into an argument. He's at somebody's party, and they've been drinking illegally underage. And he punches a guy, and he falls in the pool, and the guy drowns. A foolish son is the ruin of a father. And then on the other side, his role is being the husband, that a contentious woman is like a continual dropping. It's like having a sink faucet just drip, 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 drip. Now, I thought it was interesting. I looked up the word calamity. What did it mean that he is the calamity? It's not really the meaning of it, because you all know what it means. It's how it was used. It literally means plural. Calamities meaning many and varied. So the foolish son becomes a calamity to the father. Many and varied calamities. Otherwise, the foolish son is always getting in trouble, always needing discipline, and he's not thinking well. Somebody said there's three ways to get things done in this world. Number one, you do it yourself. Number two, you hire somebody to do it. Number three, you forbid your kids to do it, and it'll get done. So a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Verse 14, this is a good one for all you future husbands or you present-day husbands. House and riches are the inheritance of the fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. So your dad and your grandparents can leave an inheritance for you. They can leave a house for you. They can leave money for you, riches. The inheritance comes from a father, but a father cannot give you a prudent wife. God gives you the right woman, and that's why it's so important that you pray about who you're supposed to marry, let alone who you're supposed to date. But it's the prudent wife is a gift from God. She comes from God, and there's no way that you could have picked her out, because we're all adults, us guys. So God has given us the blessing of the right woman. Verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer from hunger. Somewhat speaks for itself. He who keeps his commandment keeps his soul, verse 16. But he who is careless of his ways will die. And that's very true, recklessness. There's reckless things we've all done as young men and women, and growing up especially, we think we're going to live forever. I never understand the people that want to dive off, and if you're here, that's okay, I'm not putting you down, but dive off of a bridge with a bungee cord. Man, it yanks your leg, so it tears your tendons and your, you know, just rips and shreds all your muscles, and then it damages something, maybe not right then and there, but you go, ooh, and you pop your spine, and you just jolt yourself, and it'd just be my luck that I would dive off, and the guy would have forgot to hook up the bungee to me, so I realize he who is careless of his ways will die. Now, I wouldn't mind skydiving, but again, I'd be the one guy whose chute didn't open on the first time. I just can't be that careless. I'd rather fly the airplane and let you jump out without your chute. But don't be careless with your ways. I spoke with a woman today, and she was telling me about her boyfriend, and she were on a motorcycle that they rented, and it was a little too big for him, and they made it down this hill, and she was scared, and she said, "I'm scared. Would you go really slowly, because you haven't been riding a motorcycle a long time?" And she heard the Lord say, "Don't get on that motorcycle." And she begged him, "Please, let's call the guy and have him come pick it up with his truck, whatever it costs." Instead, they got on. Long story short, he lost control. He was decapitated. She was thrown over the cliff, broke shoulders, arms, legs, and she just holds herself guilty that she should have forced him, but he didn't want to. He wanted to ride the bike. So there is a fine line to draw. I'm not saying don't go out and have fun. That's not it at all. But he who is careless is different than athletic. Careless is different than doing something fun. But if you're careless of your ways, you'll die. But if you keep the Lord's commandments, you're keeping your soul. The 17th verse, This is a good one for you to remember. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. So that's something to memorize. It's about you and your giving. You help poor people. It's the same as you lending to the Lord, not as if he needs your money to be lent to him. The point being that he's going to pay you back. So you help out some poor people. You give $2,000 to help get their lights and water back on or something, and back phone bills. And that's like giving it to the Lord. He's going to see that you get that $2,000 back somewhere. Not from the poor people, but he will. It's just his economy. His economy is completely different than Wall Street's economy. And so Jesus was able to say to his disciples that in this world, you'll get 100 times more than what you ever gave. And in the world to come, you get eternal life. So this economy is not tied to his economy. Chasing your son while there is hope, the 18th verse. Again, here's the role of the man being the father, and he has to be told here, chasing your son. While chastening, we're told as adults and Christian people that despise not the chastening of the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he chastises. So we spiritually get a little out of tune. He has to chastise us now and then. We're not to despise that at all. And though it doesn't feel very comfortable, when the time has come, it's going to bear a very peaceable fruit in our life because we're chastised. So modern sociologists and the politically correct people say, oh no, don't spank, don't do this, let your kid do whatever he wants. Well, that's training a brat. That's what that's doing. But verse 18, he says, as a father, chasten your son while there is hope, which means that you could go without chastening the two-year-old, and the terrible twos will turn into the really raucous fives, and the fives will turn into the sevens, and then by the time they're 12 or 13 years old, you're not going to have any peace in your house, and they're going to be just trouble at school and always getting in trouble because you never chastened them. So there is a timeline, he's saying. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. So what would it mean to the father to not set his heart on the destruction of the kid? He's not saying beat him to a pulp to get his attention, but he's also telling him that while he chastens him, that is, you may give up. And you know that's the destruction of a kid if mom and dad aren't there to bring discipline into a life. Where will you get discipline? And I just knew when I was a young, rowdy guy that our discipline came from all of us that drank together and went to the bars together. It came in fights and scuffles and black eyes and pool cues over the back or something. But we weren't disciplined, so we could say what we wanted to say. We were stupid. We'd mouth off and we'd call people names. But when you're disciplined and chastened at home, you fit into society and you know how to get along with other people. So you have nothing to prove who's the top dog in the place at all. Chasten your son while there's hope. And don't set your heart on his destruction. Don't give up and say, well, he's going to be destroyed, so I can't help him. You can always help. Now, Mark Twain always had a little bit of a twisted humor in his writings, but here's what he said about teenagers. And he was one at one time. But Mark Twain's philosophy was this. When a kid turns 13, stick him in a barrel, nail the lid shut, and feed him through the knot hole. That was his. When he turns 16, plug the hole. Well, on a more serious side, this is truth in raising children, absolute truth, I'd say, pretty much. And it will work in other areas of life. And it's this: do not threaten a child. Either punish or forgive him. Don't say, if you don't do this, I'm going to take away your privileges. Or I'm going to count to 10. All you're doing is teaching them. They can keep doing it until you get to 10. And then they'll push it and see if they can get to 11 or 12. No, you say no. No means no. It doesn't mean no 10 seconds from now or 30 seconds. It means no right now. You respond right now to discipline. So I like that one. It's very helpful that you either punish or forgive. Otherwise, they've done something, and you're going to punish them for what they just did, or you're going to say, I forgive you for doing that, and let them go on their way. But don't ever threaten a child, because then they learn, they can get defensive, and they really are in control now. That an adult just threatened them, and they are in control of what the response is going to be. They're kids, and you don't want them to end up being brats. You want them to be disciplined, so they'll be good members of society. Verse 19, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. Can't control his wrath. He's going to somehow be punished. For if you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. So if a man can't control his wrath, he gets thrown in jail, you're going to be bailing him out with your money, better expect to be back there again if he can't control that wrath. So wrath is something that is a defense mechanism. It is a way to control people. If you've been molested as a child or you've been abused, that you can get angry and you can flip off and you can push people back with a loud voice and body language. And if you go through your life like that, that wrath is always your defense mechanism instead of letting God control you, you're just going to keep repeating and repeating. You need to get this out of your heart and out of your life once and for all. Verse 20, listen to counsel and receive instruction. Listen with your ear and receive with your heart and your mind. So you listen to counsel, people telling you this is how it should be done. You receive instruction. You don't have all the answers to everything. And the reason is that you may be wise in your latter days. Now, the New King James says pretty close to that, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou may be wise in your latter end. So I look at this proverb and I say, you could extrapolate this into many areas. I would immediately say that as I get older, because I listen to counsel and I receive instruction, my older days, I'll be wiser with my time and my health and my finances and my relationships. But how about you apply this, listen, pay attention, and learn, and at the end of the board meeting, you'll be wiser. At the end of the school semester, at the end of this conversation, at the end of this class, just today's class, when the bell rings at 3, you can take that out and say, at the end of this, if I'm listening and I'm learning at my latter end of whatever, let alone my life, I'm going to be a much wiser person. This will make you wealthy and wise, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. We all have ideas, schemes, and plans. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. There are a lot of plans. So you get counsel from man, that's one thing. But God's counsel is another. That's what's ultimately going to stand. So you can tie those two together, verse 20 and 21. One is that you're going to be benefited as a human because you're going to listen to counsel and receive instruction, knowing that you'll be wise in your latter days. And the reason being, there are many plans in man's heart. You can come up with a lot of things, but you need the Lord's counsel because His decision given to you, whatever you do will prosper, it's going to stand. And you want to hit it out of the park as many times as you can. Verse 22. What is desired in a man is kindness. That's what's desired, a kind person. And a poor man is better than a liar. That's a good one. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. So if you want to know where life is, fear and respect God, and it's going to just lead you to it, and you're going to see you're living in a fake world all around you, and you're going to see the spiritual application, and you'll see and hear with different eyes and ears. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. You'll be very content because you are in the place of life because of your fear of the Lord. You understand there's more going on than meets the eye. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. So apparently he doesn't have a spoon for his cereal. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. So there is a time that your school teacher got a disruptive student in the classroom. Man, you strike him, if not with your words, you know, you just get their attention, and then it makes the simpler person realize, this man means business, and I'm going to have respect, and you just get rid of the scoffer who's pulling other people down, and the simple people will realize, okay, I'm going to be brought into the light for this. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Shame and reproach. You must honor your mother and father. And it is the only verse in the Bible that promises longevity of life. So if you mistreat your father and you chase your mother away with your attitude, abuse, verbally or otherwise, you cause shame and reproach. Verse 27, circle this one. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Now he's trying to raise his children. David is teaching these to Solomon. Solomon's teaching them to his kids. When you cease listening to instruction, your heart is just going to get soggy and mushy, and you're going to stray from the words of knowledge. You don't care anymore. And you become carnal, and you become physical, you become lustful, you just become wishy-washy, and you have no purpose in life. Don't ever give up listening to instruction, and don't ever stray from words of knowledge. You always want to keep growing. That's why if you spend time every day in the Bible, you're going to learn something new, even if you read that same passage 40 times or 140 times. A disreputable witness, verse 28, scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments, verse 29, are prepared for scoffers, and beatings are for the backs of fools. Chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. New King James, it says a strong drink is raging, but it's a brawler. It causes you to brawl and to fight. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Now, instead of led astray by it, in the New King James, it says whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Same thing. But booze is going to deceive you. It's going to make you think that you're really cool because everybody else is drinking. And that's the only way you can loosen up at a party. Party wouldn't be fun if they didn't have booze. Bars wouldn't be fun if they didn't have booze. People go into the bars to drink the booze because the lights are down and you don't look as ugly in the dark when everybody else is drunk, right? So people are hitting on you and you feel like $1 million. So here's some things. If you're given to, and I speak from wisdom, having been a brawling drunk and a bad mouth guy. Wine is a mocker. And I know a lot of people like to drink wine. But it is a mocker. And there's a week or two here, we're going to see a whole chapter just about wine, of how deceptive it is. But it mocks you. It looks good, it tastes great, but it mocks you because it starts breaking down your willpower and you get a little loose lips. And we all know loose lips sink ships. And then all of a sudden, you could just be out of it. Strong drink is a brawler. So getting beyond wine, getting to Jack Daniels, getting to whiskey, vodka, whatever, it brings people into a rage. And you've heard the term, oh, he's a raging alcoholic. That's a fighting, brawling dude. And whoever's deceived by this or led astray is not a wise person. So what it's saying is that if you're given to alcohol and drinking, and you let alcohol rule in your life or cause you to give up your morals or your ethics for a moment just because you had a few drinks or because everybody else is doing it, you're not very wise. Otherwise, it has the power of deception and leading you astray. That's what alcohol has. But it is so ingratiated into our society, we take it as part of cultural life. And billions are made by the alcohol advertisers over sports, as if getting drunk to watch a sport makes any sense at all. But it's always about a bunch of guys getting drunk and eating their pizza. All the ads, and punching each other. And our cops arresting people at the football games or the baseball games or whatever. It just doesn't make sense. But we don't see that. But wisdom says right here, strong drink causes you to fight. You'll be raging. You'll be brawling. Wine will end up mocking you and breaking down your willpower. If you're led astray, if alcohol leads you and is a regular part of your schedule, you can't make it without it, then it has grabbed a hold of your ingenuity and it has deceived you and you're under its control instead of it just being a passing drink. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion, and we saw that already, but look what he says. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life.
That's Mike McIntosh bringing to a close our study for today on Chapter and Verse. On our next broadcast, we'll present part two of the message, Receive Counsel of the Lord, from our survey of the Book of Proverbs. Well, did you know that podcasts of Chapter and Verse teachings are available to download? That's right, you can have Pastor Mike's weekday teachings downloaded through this service, and you won't miss a minute of these messages. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, it's easy and it's free. Just go to our website, MikeMcIntosh.com, and under the teaching link, you'll see podcast. There you'll find simple step-by-step instructions, so your device will automatically receive each day's message from Chapter and Verse. Your life takes all kinds of unexpected turns. Now you can take Chapter and Verse teachings with you wherever you go. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, available now at MikeMcIntosh.com. Before we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Be with us next time as we continue our series in Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.